We continue our learning the Nishmas Davi Beben Achim Rush, Nechav Yaakov, Bepitach HaSoliyo, we are in Bava Kama Perikyun, Mishnah Dalet. Zeba B'chaviso Shal Yayin, V'zeba B'kayo Shal Dvash. You have two people walking, one's carrying a barrel of wine, one's carrying a pitcher, a barrel, we've said in the past in the third parak, Chavis and Kada used interchangeably, a barrel, a pitcher, one's holding, one is walking with a Chavis of Yayin, a barrel of wine, one with a barrel of Dvash of honey, and Dvash, we assume, in those days at least, that honey is more expensive than wine. Nistika chavish al dvash b'shafach zeis yeino v'hitzil as hadvash l'socho. So what happened? There was a crack now in the barrel of that had honey in it, and the one who had the barrel of wine was a big tzaddik and said, "Oh, well, you know, the wine is not as expensive as that honey that my friend is about to lose." So what did he do? He poured out all of his wine from his barrel and saved the hitzil as hadvash l'socho and saved all of the honey and put it in his barrel. So what's the halacha here? Can he demand from the bal hadvash the value of the wine that he lost? Says the Mishnah, no. Ein lo el eschara. All that the owner of the dvash has to pay, the owner of the wine who spilled out, the owner of the wine who spilled out his wine to save the dvash, the owner of the dvash only has to pay the schar of the kli. Obviously, he's now going to be using the vessel, the wine vessel, for his honey, so that's not his, so he has to pay for that. And the schar pa'ula, whatever the labor was for him to do so, it took him a few minutes to gather all of the honey inside, and that's all he has to pay. He does not have to pay for the value of the wine. He didn't ask him, could you please spill out your wine so you can save my honey? And the Gemara explains that we're speaking about a case where the honey was just dripping out a little bit through the crack and wasn't pouring out completely. But let's say there's a huge crack. So that if he, the owner of the wine, didn't save the dvash, all of the dvash would have been lost. Then we consider the dvash like hefker. And anything that the Baal Hayayin saves, in fact, is his. He's zocher from hefker, like that we had in the Mishnah Beis, Hamatzel ben Hanohar, person who saves something that's being washed away by the river, so that we assume the Bailam give up, hope you're able to keep it. Mishnah continues, Im Amar Atzil es shalchav atanosing li es demei sheli. But let's say before the owner of the wine pours out of his wine, he says, listen, I see that your honey is dripping out. You know what? Let's make a deal. I'll save your honey, but you're gonna, and I'll pour out my wine, but part of the condition is you're gonna pay me for the wine. And he does, so he agrees to that. Chayv litein lo. Then the owner of the honey has to pay for the wine based on this stipulation. Shataf nahar chamoro v'chamor chavero. Let's say you have the donkey of Reuven, the donkey of Shimon, are now they're washed away by the river. Shelo yafemane v'shel chavero masayim. Let's say Reuven's donkey is worth 100 zuz, and Shimon's is more expensive, worth 200 zuz. Hiniach ze es shelo. Reuven is a big tzaddik. He says, you know, I'm not going to save my donkey because it's only worth 100. I'm going to save Shimon's donkey because it's worth 200. Vehitil es shel chavero, and he saves Shimon's chamor. Ein lo el eschara. Shimon is not chayv to pay Reuven for the loss of Reuven's donkey, 100 zuz. No, he pays them for the labor, whatever it took for you to try to save my donkey. That's all I have to pay for. But if Reuven said to Shimon, Ani atzil eshel chavatanosin li esheli, I will save your donkey as long as you pay me for my donkey that I'm going to allow to be washed away, then chayv li tein lo, he has to pay him. Shimon then will have to pay Reuven for the value of Reuven's chamor. Gemara wants to know, what do you need both of these cases for? So it teaches me the same halacha. So here's the chiddush. In the reisha, the first case of the wine, even though the owner of the wine poured out his wine biyadayim, he acted proactively, pours out the wine to save the dvash of his friend. Nonetheless, if they didn't make a tanai, they didn't orally express that they're going to make a stipulation that the Shimon is going to pay for the wine, so then Shimon doesn't have to pay the wine, he pays him just for the labor. Even though Reuven actively poured out his wine, and the safer schiddush is that even though the chamor of Reuven is drowning by itself, now he's not throwing away his chamor actively, but it drowns by itself. Nonetheless, if they made a tanai, the chiddush is that even though Reuven didn't do anything actively, if there was a tanai though, that Shimon said he's going to pay, Shimon is going to be chayv to pay for it. happens to be, this is also true, and this is true in Hashavas Aved, as we'll see in Bava Metzia, even if Reuven didn't make this Tanayin from Shimon, he came to a Beis Din and said, oh, I see my chamor is a, you know, two chamorim here, and I like to save Shimon's, I want to make a Tanayin that Shimon's going to have to pay me for mine that I let, I get washed away so I can save his. If he does that in front of Beis Din, then Shimon does have to pay Reuven for the value of Reuven's chamor. Perek Yud, Mishnah Hei. Hagozel sadeh mechavero, unetalu hamesikin. Person steals a friend, his friend's field, can't actively steal it, but he's now he's sitting on the field, and obviously it doesn't belong to him, and he's using the crops, etc. Unetalu hamesikin. And then Mesikin or Metzikin, which are oppressors, come with force based from the government, and they come and take away, they confiscate that field from the Gazlan. So now the Gazlan doesn't have, so does the Gazlan have to pay back? It was taken from him anyway. In Makas Medina, if this is a Makas Medina, literally it's a plague of the province, which means that this is what's happening all over the place. The government's sending out people to confiscate everyone's field. So Omer Lo, so then the Gazlan can say to the owner of the field, I know I stole your field, but in the end, Harei Sholchol Fanecha, the Sadeh, the field really can't be stolen. Karka ain't an exelis. We learned this in the third parak of Sukkah. You can't really officially steal land. So I haven't really done anything. And in the end, Harishal, go ahead. If you can get your field back from the oppressor, fine. But I don't have to pay you for it because this is happening all over the place. Everyone's fields are being confiscated. The Machmas HaGazlan. But if, let's say, the reason why the oppressors came is because it was in the hands of the Gazlan, then Chayav Lahamit Sadeh Acheres. Then it's the Gazlan's obligation to give the Baal HaSedah another field. Now the Gemara finds this interesting because really the Mishnah should have said like this. If it's a Makas Medina, the government is confiscating people's fields, the Gazlan doesn't have to pay, you can say Harishal Chofanecha. And then it should have said V'imlo, but if it's not a Makas Medina, then he does have to pay, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say if it's not a Makas Medina, it says if it's because of the Gazlan. So why do you have to say that? Even if it's not because of the Gazlan. Even if it's not, as long as it's not a Makas Medina, the Gazlan has to pay for it. So the Gemara says, this is the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that in this case, the Gazlan is the cause. Generally, we have a rule, and that is Grama B'Nizakin Potter. If you cause some damage indirectly, you're going to be exempt. But in this case, what the Mishnah is telling us is like this. If it's Machbas HaGazlan, so if the Gazlan is the cause, the reason why the government officials came is because the Gazlan was showing this field. Oh, look at this. This field, which you stole from someone else. By the way, there's a field over there that you may have missed. You may want to confiscate that also. Then it's Chayav to pay for it. This is, why is this not Grama? He just showed it. So the answer is, this is where we fall into the category of Dina de Garmi. Dina de Garmi is a higher level of Grama, of where something is done, although it's indirectly. Nonetheless, the Rabbi Meir done Dina de Garmi, according to Rabbi Meir, we can be strict, and this is considered damage. There is liability as imposed for indirectly causing damage. Why is it so? So according to summary Shonen, this is where the damage is certain, is certain to happen. Meaning it may happen later, but it was certainly going to happen. And this is an example of that. According to others, it's when the damage takes place immediately. That is, you show it to this person, to the oppressor who's coming, he's going to take it away right away. It's as if it's being taken away immediately. And that would fall into the category of Garmi, and that's why he's going to be Chayv. Otherwise, it should be Grama, and he should be Potter. And therefore, the Mishnah has to say, if it's Machmas HaGazlan, then the Gazlan has to appoint another field. Shtafa Nahar, Omer Lo Harei Shal Chalafanecha. Let's say you have a case where the Gazlan, you have this person who stole someone's field, you're sitting on the field, and now a river comes and washes the whole field away. Omer Lo, the Gazlan can say Harei Shal Chalafanecha. The Karka, I never really stole, in the sense that Karka and in Exelis. It was always in the Chazak of the original owner. So therefore, the Hashem caused this, the river overflowed. And therefore, since he didn't cause any damage biyadayim, he is not chayv to pay. You can say, here's your field, take it the way it is. Of course, it's all washed away. The Gazlan does not have to pay.